Morning. You guys can turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. I have to go to Great Falls today, so I got to get out of here right on time. So you guys can kind of watch the clock for me. I mean, you guys that are always watching the clock anyways. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just a second, I wanted to mention just a couple things about the public reading. I mentioned one of them last week. Aren't you glad that under the new covenant, that what the Lord's really interested in is the internal. God took that external, didn't He, and used that as an example, the physical, to communicate spiritual truths. But what God cares about under the new covenant is the internal. And there's one huge difference that this chapter actually brings out. You can accidentally touch an unclean thing, not even know it, and you're guilty. Very important transition in the new covenant. When Jesus touched that man who was a leper, did Jesus become unclean? No. That man became clean. When Jesus touched the woman, when the woman touched Jesus, hey, Jesus didn't know. He didn't know who touched me, right? That woman who had that flow of blood, right? She reached out and touched Jesus. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Did Jesus become unclean? No. That woman became clean. You guys understand the way this works in the new covenant? To the pure, all things are pure. We're indwelt by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So if we're going with the right motives, whatever we touch becomes holy. And there's nothing that accidentally is going to creep up and touch us and going to make us unclean. It doesn't work that way on the new covenant. Okay? So, guys, let's keep our minds and our heart, our spirit pure before the Lord, and whatever we do it all to the glory of God, and He is glorified through us. Amen? Amen. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to pick it up here in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning verse 10. "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and there be no divisions among you, but you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I've been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, 'I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you immersed in the name of Paul? I thank God that I immersed none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no man should say you are immersed in my name. Now I did immerse also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I immersed any other. For Christ did not send me to immerse, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be made void." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We praise You that You are our God. We're so appreciative for the Scriptures. We're thankful for the book of 1 Corinthians that really comes down to a level and makes us deal with the issues of the flesh versus the spirit. I'm thankful, Lord, for the exhortations that we've already received this morning to be spiritual people. Be people who would never sell our birthright for a single meal. That we would look at, or even for multiple meals, that we would look and understand what's really important. Thankful for the exhortation that we've had, particularly concerning your Lord's Supper, probably your Supper, that is a reminder that Christ has come to take away our sins, that one sacrifice for sins for all time. Lord, I ask that You would be with me today as I preach Your word, that I'll be able to help each of us be not just hearers of the word, but doers of it. That where the rubber meets the road, that we would be people who not only are spiritual in mindset, but that that would have the resulting effect and be spiritual in our words and in our deeds. Ask this through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've seen from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 already that we have been called as saints. We've been called as holy ones, right? Hey, that's who we are. Jared Schaefer, appreciate his Lord's Supper meditation. This is, again, a reminder of who we are. Gary Carson, by the way, man, your stewardship was awesome. I got goosebumps, man. That's good. That's a good job. I like it when you come up here with just scriptures and no notes. You did a great job. But we've been called as saints. Hey, we are God's holy people. We are the means by which holiness, by which cleanness is transferred under this New Testament. We're the means by which this goes out into the world. We've seen from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God is faithful. He is able to confirm us to the end. What God started, brethren, He's able to finish. Last week we looked particularly on our responsibility in that to finish strong. But God, if God undertakes something, He is going to get it done. And so God has set out to make each of us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. He's able to do that. We got to put in our part. And today I want to turn our attention a little bit, though. I mean, I like the way Paul starts 1 Corinthians. He reminds these guys who they are. But there's some places where they're falling a little short. And sometimes we got to look in this spiritual mirror, which we receive and reflect the glory of the Lord, don't we? No, we got to see if something's... I did notice, I had to hit the restroom real quick. I had all sorts of little fuzzies, the few that I got sticking up here. Hey, mirrors are valuable. Hey, I didn't fix it, that's the problem. Hey, but we look in this, it gives us a picture of Jesus Christ. And we got to look, and sometimes there's some spots we got to get worked into shape, okay, to match that picture. And so we're going to see that actually a lot throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. Today, we want to turn our attention to unity. Sometimes, even though we've been called the saints, it's possible for saints to act as immature, fleshly people. As babes in Christ. We want to grow up here. That's what this book is about. And then I also... So we want to talk about unity within the body, and then also answer some common questions in reference to the gospel and immersion. We are a spiritual army, aren't we? Isn't that who God's called us to be? Now, for an army, by the way, are we a defensive unit or are we offensive? We're taking this thing to the gates of Hades, right? Hey, we are offensive. So, for an offensive unit to work well, everything's got to be clicking, going. The enemy, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to get behind those lines and cause disruption. You can think about it easily in a football team. If you can bust through that initial line of scrimmage and create havoc in the backfield, that play is probably going to be a loss. You can think about it in the army. If you can break in behind enemy lines and cause disruption there, they take out the headquarters. Man, you don't have to worry about what they got coming. So what do you think the devil's going to do? He wants to get in behind his enemy lines, doesn't he? He wants to get in. He wants to create havoc amongst the Lord's army. So that's what he's interested in doing. And in Corinth, we see that it was working here a little bit. There were quarrels among you. I think sometimes in terms of warfare, when people are put to death by friendly fire, their own guys, they accidentally take them out for whatever reason. Brethren, in the Lord's church, we don't want people going down by friendly fire. Okay? We want to be working together and concentrating our efforts together against the enemy, not against each other. Now, Galatians chapter 5 gives a list of the deeds of the flesh. I don't have time to turn there this morning. I wanted to. But we have a tendency to focus in on the big ones, the beginning and the end. Immorality, impurity, sensuality. Those are pretty big ones. Drunkenness, that's a pretty big one at the end, right? We can initially look at them and say, that is wrong. That's unscriptural, and people, we see that all over in the world, and that flat out flies in the face of God's plan. But you know, there's a list in the middle. It's a really long... That middle of the list has a lot of very similar things. Enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying. That's a pretty long portion of that list dedicated to some things that many of us, when we kind of categorize sins, we don't initially think of as that bad. Friend, those are that bad. They are deeds of the flesh. Scripture says they're evident. So when fleshly thinking takes place, amongst people that should be spiritual, you're going to expect some of those deeds to be evident. What's going on in Corinth? Hey, sometimes it can happen here. So let's get this figured out. James chapter 4 verse 1 asks a question. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? You know, as a parent, I ask that question sometimes to my kids. What is the problem? Why are we fighting over dumb stuff? Right? As a parent, that's pretty easy to look and see. That's dumb things to be fighting over. Why are we fighting over dumb stuff? Hey, the Holy Spirit asked that question. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? And here's the Holy Spirit-inspired answer. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? The issue is people are selfish. You know, people want what I want. They want their own way. When my kids have problems, because at least one of them, usually multiple, want their own way. Hey, do you think that would have relevance in the body of Christ? People, if they want their own way, one or, as the case might be, multiple, then there's going to be quarrels. There were quarrels in Corinth. People, there's a saying in the sports world, there's no I in team. That's pretty good. Guys, if they're interested, matter of fact, I heard headlines this week that Randy Moss was traded from the New England Patriots to the Minnesota Vikings. Randy Moss is an amazing talent at wide receiver. He maybe is the best long threat receiver in the NFL. Why would the New England Patriots get rid of him? I think they said third round pick or something. I said, why would they get rid of him for a third round pick? A guy that can stretch the field like that. This guy's been saying all year that he doesn't feel wanted in New England. This guy's been saying all year that he thinks this is his last. You know what? There was an eye. And they said, let's get rid of that eye to keep our team. That's what's going on, I think, from an outsider, just a little bit I heard. That's what it looks like to me. Hey, there's no I in team. What about when it comes to the body of Christ? It looks to me like I am of Paul. I of Apollos. I of Cephas. I of Christ. Looks like there was some I here. Looks like that to you guys? Do you think Paul and Apollos had a real problem? I don't think Paul and Apollos had a real problem. Think Paul and Peter had a real... Cephas, Peter, here by the way. Think Paul and Peter had a real problem getting along? I don't think so. Do you think Apollos and Peter had a real problem? Doesn't look like it to me. Do you think Paul, Apollos, or Cephas all had problems with Christ? Doesn't look like it to me. The problem was some people that were acting fleshly, immature, were separating into camps themselves. Well, I'm of so-and-so. I'm of so-and-so. You know, it's one thing, brethren, to be a mighty army that's ready to stand and fight against the devil. And we need to be. And we need to be ready to fight. We need to be armored up for that. We've seen that. But it's a whole nother different story to fight among ourselves. Proverbs chapter 20. I will prep, as we're going along here, I will say over the years, we've come a long ways, man. I'm pleased about the unity that we have. But there's room for improvement. Let's excel still more. Okay? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. The scripture says, if you basically fight at the drop of a hat, you're a fool. It doesn't take anybody special to get involved in altercations. A good man stays out of those, doesn't he? Okay? Avoids that kind of strife. So, one thing, we got to be honest. Look in the mirror. Am I involved in conflict? Okay? Within the body of Christ? Okay? If I am repeatedly, there's a problem with me. Okay? I'm not talking about standing on doctrine. I'm talking about fighting over dumb stuff. You guys know what I mean by that? Kids, there's right, there's wrong, and then there's fighting over dumb stuff. And they're talking about fighting over dumb stuff. I've noticed the big fights often come from little fights. I was raised in a family. We had 5 kids. My brother and I, we could start stuff small. And when you start small, what usually happens? Escalates. My brother and I don't know why my parents let us have these, but we had 1 set of boxing gloves. I had the left, my brother Matt had the right. And we would go to town. And we'd start out with great attitudes, having fun, until somebody gets popped where they don't want to get popped somewhere in the face. That hurt. And all of a sudden, this thing that was supposed to be a friendly little sparring match between brothers turns into an all-out, no-holds-barred, whatever UFC-type, no-rules stuff, right? That's how fights start, guys. They start small. Okay? It all starts out fun and games till somebody gets hurt. I think one thing, just ear out here in the body of Christ, I think it's, in some ways this is really simple, but I think we need to think about being nice. Just be nice. Be kind. Have nice responses. You know, some you hear the way people talk, like, wow. Yeah, and it seems normal. Okay, we got to think about what's that sound like? What am I... Am I sparring somebody? Am I trying to hit that hot button to see if they're going to respond? I know. I'll admit this. I've been guilty of that in my own family. I know how to push my wife's buttons. I know where they are. We're a family. We should be. That's what the Lord wants. But being a family and being close to each other, sometimes we know where each other's buttons are, don't we? So, brother, part is just be nice. Hey, don't go out of your way to push buttons. If you go out of your way to push buttons, that's immature, isn't it? That's fleshly. Hey, I think a verse was read from 2 Corinthians 5. We no longer recognize any man according to the flesh. Okay? Lord doesn't want us to be that way. Basically, a wise man abandons the quarrel before it breaks out. You can check that out, Proverbs 17, verse 14. I do want to hit this passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Something else that can be a problem people don't want to focus on them. Maybe I did something I shouldn't have had and I oughtn't have done. So rather than being content to wait and see if that gets revealed, what I'm going to do is go cause a little ruckus over here, right? And distract the attention. So all the attention gets over here. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's a warning here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. Actually, I want to start in verse 23. I really wanted to start in verse 23. I need to go there. Verse 23. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Foolish and ignorant speculations, what do they produce? Quarrels. Hey guys, are there lots of things here where we can take our stand on what this book says? Absolutely, and we need to. But there are some things that would probably fall a little more into the matter of opinion or speculations. I honestly don't like to speculate about the Bible because I never see anything good come from it. I remember as a kid asking my dad questions. Well, what about this? Irrelevant question. What do you mean, Dad? Well, the Bible doesn't give us answers for that. So, it doesn't matter, does it? The Bible doesn't give us answers concerning that, then let's not waste time trying to find answers to that. A lot of problems happen in the church sometimes when things that are minor issues, things that there's no definitive answers for, people want to go and try to make stands and push and pry. I had a guy used to actually ask me, he's not with us anymore. He actually admitted to me he tried to get me to argue with him about the Bible. Hey, that's bad. That's wrong. Okay? Speculations, okay, produce quarrels. So something I'm going to continue to work on here in the congregation. I think we need to stand on stuff you can prove. Plenty of it. Okay? That war that we fight out there, okay, those guys are off on virtually everything concerning the Scripture. A lot of stuff we can prove. Let's stick with the stuff we can prove. Because in doing that, we're getting people that are interested in truth. They're learning to stick with stuff they can prove. And this thing can continue to move forward. If you start taking on stands on stuff you can't prove, you lose credibility in arenas where you can prove. And all it is a cause for quarrel. You guys know, I heard Gary Carson yesterday getting in a discussion with a guy about the issue of salvation. And this guy was way wrong. And Gary was way right. But you know what those guys do? They try to jump over into stuff that you can't prove to try to get the argument away from stuff that you can prove. Okay? That can happen in the body of Christ. So there's responsibility for us. Avoid those speculations. Okay? Does that make sense? Those things just cause quarrels. All right. Don't fight over dumb stuff. The solution. What's the solution here? The solution is to put the emphasis on Christ and on His body. John the Immerser said it really well. He said, He must increase, I must decrease. There's an amazing thing. God has it set up this way. You actually see it really well in team sports. If I start putting the team first, and everybody on the team starts putting the team first, individuals on the team starting getting more opportunities, don't they? But as long as I'm selfish, and I'm going to do things my way, guess what? Nobody, including that person, gets near as many opportunities as they otherwise would. I'm thankful, brethren, for our body here in Billings. I'm thankful for the teamwork that we have, the unity that we do have. Have you noticed that we've been growing that way and we've been putting Christ first? We've been putting other people above ourselves? All sorts of us individually are getting more opportunities, aren't we? You guys notice that? That's the way it works, and God has divine intervention also to ensure that this is the way this works. So I want to encourage us here. I'm not going to get to the second half of my message, so we'll work on some questions in reference to the gospel and immersion next time. I want to close Psalm 133. I will say this. I think we know God made us to be warriors. And sometimes it's scary to stick our neck out there and go fight out there. Now, sometimes it's easier to get a feel like we're being a warrior by picking a little fight in here. Okay? Let's get our priorities where they need to be. Let's keep the main thing. My dad said the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Okay? Major and majors, minor and minors. We got a major spiritual war going on. We're spiritual soldiers. Let's go fight together on that. Let's be kind to each other. Let's be united in spirit. Let's be intent on one purpose. Let's put on love, right? Which is the perfect bond of unity. I do commend you, brethren. I think we've done a great job in that, but I think we can do even better. I think a lot of it is just watching our mouth. Make sure the things we say are nice. Think about it. So, and I don't know if you guys do this with your kids, but sometimes I say, think about what that sounded like to the person you just said that to. I took one of the school kids the other day. Little guy can't read yet. He's in learning to read. But I talked to him about treating other people the way we ourselves want to be treated, right? I showed him a little poster we got in school. It says, the golden rule. And there's a little gold ruler up there. And I read that verse to him. You guys know the golden rule. Okay. Different versions and different gospel accounts. But it boils down to, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. This is the teaching of the law and the prophets. Okay. Be kind. Think about that. Okay. Do it that way. So, listen. Sometimes you got to get a little feedback. Sometimes you got to play stuff back. You know, sometimes I think it would be worthwhile to record yourself for a week. Your conversations, things you say, the way you sound. Play it back and listen to it. I know every once in a while my wife says, politely asked me about that. I'm like, well, I said this. She goes, that's not the way you said it. And I know she's right. That's not the way I said it. We need to say things. It's not just what we say. It's how we say them. Let's be kind, brother. Keep this thing going. All right. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. You know who's going to be in heaven? Us. And a lot more real, true Christians like us, right? So, hey, let's enjoy each other's company. Okay, let's get shoulder to shoulder next to that soldier that's fighting next to you. Okay? You get through stuff, man. You work through stuff together. We start becoming the kind of people, we got each other's back. We are a fighting unit for the Lord. And that effort and that energy is directed, that war is directed against Satan. Let's not let him have the upper hand by getting in here behind enemy lines and stirring stuff up. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you. We thank you so much that you're our God. Father, we're appreciative that you've really given us the means of unity. It's not through compromise. The means of unity is actually in obedience to your Son. The way he said it is the glory that you have given to him, he's given to us, that we may be one. Father, my prayer is that we would look into the mirror and behold the glory of the Lord. That each of us individually would be transformed in the same image from glory to glory. That we'd be honest about ourselves if we got things to work on, and that we would get to work on. That we would be willing to put you and your body first above our own individual interests. Father, along the way, you, the sovereign God, you have a way of causing all things to work together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. Help us to key in then on your purpose to make the most of our time, because the days are evil, to be together as a congregation in agreement of one mind, intent on that one purpose of seeking and saving the lost. We ask your blessing on the rest of the day, on the potluck, the trip to Great Falls, Father, that you be glorified through us today and throughout this week, that the world may know that there is indeed a God who is alive in Israel. I ask this all through Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus.